In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People of God, welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, or wherever you happen to be this morning, or whenever you happen to be. In fact, as I'm recording this, it's a few days before Sunday, since I'm not here on Sunday morning as worship is happening. This morning, Pastor Zach Paris, pastor of the Lutheran Ministry here, at
we lost the audio. We have no audio.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People of God, welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, or wherever you happen to be this morning, or whenever you happen to be. In fact, as I'm recording this, it's a few days before Sunday, since I'm not here on Sunday morning as worship is happening. This morning, Pastor Zach Paris, pastor of the Lutheran Ministry here at In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. People of God, welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, or wherever you happen to be this morning or whenever you happen to be. In fact, as I'm recording this, it's a few days before Sunday, since I'm not here on Sunday morning as worship is happening. This morning, Pastor Zach Paris, pastor of the Lutheran Campus Ministry here at CU Boulder, will be preaching and presiding for us. I want to invite you to make sure that you have bread and wine or grape juice on your home altar this morning, ready to go for the sacrament of Holy Communion, which will be celebrated later in the liturgy this morning. Our partner in ministry this month here at Grace Lutheran Church is the Sister Carmen Community Center, a community center that does fantastic work among and with those who are in particular need here in the Boulder community. And so I invite you to read through. There's lots of information about Sister Carmen Community Center in the back of the bulletin. This coming Wednesday, I invite you to keep an eye out for the video reflection that I will post. That will start with Psalm 90, which is the psalm for next Sunday's Sunday morning liturgy. And the week before, every other week or so, I post a video reflection on the upcoming psalm for the following Sunday. You are invited, people of God, to be creative about how it is that you celebrate Martin Luther's birthday this coming Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, November 10th, Martin Luther will have been born 537 years ago. And I don't know what you want to do with all those odd numbers, 537, but I invite you to celebrate Brother Martin's birthday this coming week. We turn now to worship.
Let us begin our worship confessing our sin and hearing God's words of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God in whose image we are made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we do not follow you as we should. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor. Open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved of God, we are God's children, and Jesus, our Savior, opens the door to us. Through Christ, you are forgiven, and in Christ, we are welcomed into the beloved community. Let us live in the promises prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Amen.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the fifth chapter of Amos. Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. It is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it. I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harp. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life put to shame confounded. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, great is the Lord. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry.
The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout. 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' And then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And later the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So this morning, I thought, since Pastor Matthew is away, I would pull back the curtain and let you in on the very mysterious and exciting world of pastors. In fact, I'm prepared to share with you this morning 2 secrets about being a pastor. And the first is this: preaching on the Sunday after a presidential election can be difficult. The people in the pews are likely experiencing a wide range of deeply felt emotions, and it's hard to thread the needle of meeting people where they are and proclaiming news that the entire congregation might hear as good. And in this case, it is best if you can find a supply preacher to pinch hit for you so you don't have to do it. Okay, I kid, Matthew, but this is not my first post-election preaching gig. And the second secret is that most of the time, the advice you receive from a pastor is advice that the pastor themselves are doing the best they can to follow. Whatever it is that I'm telling you to do, it is likely to be a thing that I am trying very hard to do myself. And one of the most common pastor dilemmas that I face as a campus pastor is the work of helping students live most fully into their vocation as students. You see, one of the hardest parts about being a student is that so much of your life is about the future. Every day you go to class, and you prepare to be a teacher or a scientist or a lawyer. But the thing is, you are not yet a teacher or a scientist or a lawyer. Right now, you are a student. A student is who God has called you to be. And so very often my advice to students is the encouragement to live here and now, not to think that the most important parts of their lives are waiting for them off in the future. It's my job to tell them that God is with them and that they are fully living into their identity as children of God here and now, even as they prepare for what lies ahead. This, of course, is advice that I need to hear just as much as students. Maybe I've preached to you all before about how I am nearly always almost happy and how that means in reality I am rarely happy. I tell myself, if I can just get through this week, if I can just get Zelma ready and dropped off at school, if I can just get through this stay-at-home order, then I'll be happy. And I do get through the week. In most days, I do get Zelma to school, and we've even endured stay-at-home orders. But when I do get there, when I get to the place that I've been striving for, I push the goalpost just a little further away to the next thing, so that once again, I am almost always almost happy. And the call to be present, to find the life of God where I am, is a call that I most often need to hear. And so it is my pastoral advice to students. But that is not the case today. For the past 8 months or so, I have been so very, very present in the moment. I have been so very present at home and with my family. I've joked that I have now banked enough family time that we can send Zelma to boarding school until she's 30. And so many of the things that I've looked forward to, the things that I've told myself will make me happy, concerts, football games, students returning from the summer, they have disappeared into a fog of uncertainty. I like to use the future as a place to escape to. But in these days of pandemic, there is no clear future to look forward to. We are all stuck, it seems, in the present. And so the pastoral advice I have so often needed to hear doesn't seem that relevant this morning. But I must confess that I was looking forward to the election on Tuesday. In part, I wanted my preferred candidates and propositions to win. I am very excited about the Gray Wolf and would love to talk to you more about that. But I also wanted the ads to stop. But more than anything, I think what I was looking forward to was some clarity over what the future might look like. And while we do know this morning who won, this week's gift to us, I do not think was clarity. And so here we are, waiting, painfully aware that we are not aware of what it is exactly that we're waiting for. Promises of vaccines and a federally coordinated public health response will eventually lead to a future that is not this, that it will be better than this. And I hope that the future looks something like the past, that we might one day be able to gather in person like we used to. But we're also told that things will be, that while things will be better in the future, they will not be the same as the past. That we're not exactly sure what the future will look like. We're not exactly sure how it will be different. And so as we sit and wait for the future to find us, this parable finds us instead. And to see this parable clearly, we need to freshen ourselves up, refresh ourselves on marriage practices in the ancient Near East. I know we're all pretty good at that, but just a quick recap. I have here on my wrist, this is a watch, and it is connected to satellites in outer space that tell me exactly what time it is according to the second. It is 10:28 and 48 seconds right now. Unfortunately, I did some research. The Garmin Corporation was not founded until 1989, which was a little late to catch Jesus and the disciples. They did not have timepieces. They did not know exactly what time it was. They were dependent on the movements of the sun to know what time it was. And because they didn't have watches, it meant they had a culturally different understanding of how time worked. And so when they scheduled big events, they did not schedule them for a precise time. They didn't even schedule them for like high noon or sunset. Events were supposed to happen when the people who were most important arrived at them. So we read in the gospel that the bridegroom is delayed. He's not late because this event is only supposed to happen when the bride and the groom arrive. That's when it's supposed to happen. And the way that marriages worked in the ancient Near East is the groom would go off to the home of the family of the bride. He would pick her up and return to his home. And when they arrived, that's when the wedding was supposed to begin. And so we find these bridesmaids waiting for the bride and the groom to return. And they are expecting that the banquet was going to happen that night. They expected them to return that night. But the bride and the groom, they are traveling both on foot. And who knows how far they're walking? Who knows how easily it was for them to be delayed? And so they do not know exactly how long they will be waiting. And because they don't know exactly how long it is they'll be waiting, they don't know exactly how they should prepare. This might start to feel familiar if you've been alive in the past 8 months. How much oil should they bring? Right? It's entirely possible that they all could have run out of oil. I mean, if this thing got dragged into a second day or a week and they're all just sitting around waiting for someone to make a call on this wedding, who knows what they might have needed? Perhaps they should have brought brunch supplies. And like these bridesmaids, we wait. We're not sure how long, and we're not sure exactly what it is we're waiting for. We don't know what we need. But to those who wait, to those who sit in the fog of uncertainty, the word of promise from this parable is that the bridegroom will come. That eventually, with certainty, God will come. No matter how long we wait, no matter how prepared we are or not, God will come to us in this place. God will come to us amidst the fog. To be certain, how we wait, how we prepare matters. It is wise to bring an extra flask or two. But I'm not so sure that hoarding our oil so that others are left outside the party is particularly faithful. And these days, in these unprecedented days, in campus ministry, we're doing our best to wait as faithfully as we can, very often with your support. As we look towards the fall, we had no idea what we needed to do, how we could prepare for a future that we did not know. The heart of our ministry for going on 10 years now has been our Tuesday night meal, and we knew that was important to students. And so we did the math. We thought it out as best we could, and we started on Tuesday night at the beginning of the fall, gathering together outside for dinner on the lawn there at St. Aidan's. It's a beautiful open space. And so Megan and I, we did all the work. I bought so many fun things on Amazon. I've got these like rubber dots with numbers on them that we placed along the kind of like line where people could pick up food that were 6 feet apart. We carefully managed like all the tables and spread them all apart and put only enough chairs at the table so that people had to sit socially distanced. I made these beautiful signs with a QR code where people could check in so we could do contact tracing at the tables. And the tables all had a sign that said, like, this table is for two humans. We did all this work. I spent weeks, right, and a whole day planning it all out to make sure that we could still gather for dinner as safely as possible. And I want to tell you what happened that first Tuesday night. We had done all the work. Sandwich board signs everywhere, encouraging people to check in and social distance. And students got their food, And they walked right past all of the tables that Megan and I had spent so much time carefully arranging. And what they did instead is they sat on the ground. And they sat on the ground in this giant circle, all 6 feet apart, very conscientiously. Because what they wanted more than anything was to see one another. That they had been so isolated from seeing each other face to face that they gathered in this giant circle, 30-yard diameter, so that they could eat their meal and see one another, even if from a distance. That plan worked pretty good. You know, until students had that 3-week lockdown where they were essentially not allowed to gather. And so we pivoted. We launched BreadX, dinner delivery. And Megan and I came up with this idea on a Thursday, and we had to pull it off on a Tuesday. And it turns out we needed to deliver around 50 meals a week. And Megan, well, I don't know about Megan. I'm a pretty good cook. I'm going to say that. Megan's good at logistics. We needed help. And so we sent an email out to all of our dinner hosts, many of you, who all responded in that first week in 4 days. We had 13 different dinner hosts volunteer to make food, to meet diet. I mean, you get 50, a cross-section of 50 students on campus in Boulder, and I literally, here you go. We have no dairy. Of course, we have no nuts, tree nuts or legumes. We have vegans. We have gluten-free. And my personal favorite, we have a bell pepper allergy. So if you can make a single dish to feed all those people, you are a magician and not a chef. But we did it, right? We did it all that week. But the order was for 3 weeks. And so continuing to work with our volunteers, with many of you, we did it for 4 weeks. We delivered over 200 meals to students who were shut into their apartments. And during that time, Megan, you gotta watch out for Megan, because what Megan did that I did not know about is that in the food that went out in those bags and boxes, Megan put notes to be written in there. And the other day I walked into the office and there was a whole like string, a pennant, and each one had this like note of appreciation from students written to me. And I have to confess, I didn't see it for like a week until Megan finally pointed it out to me. And these are just each examples of what we're doing that is imperfect, that is not what we want to be doing, that we lament because we're not able to fully be the people God wants us to be right now. And yet how we prepare, how we wait matters. These are the cracks in which this kingdom that Jesus is telling us about is springing up. So when BreadX ended, we're back to a thing that we know works. Except then there was a time change. And so it's 6 o'clock on Tuesday nights now. It is pitch black. And so we're figuring it out again. We're trying to do a drive-through thing in the dark. We've got gas fire pits. We're doing what we can. We're doing what we can in faith, in hope, that in the midst of our uncertainty, in the midst of our successes and our failures, this is the place where God will come to us. That if we're expecting and waiting and looking for where God might be coming in the fog, in the uncertainty, that is where God will find us. So, in these days, let us wait together. Let us hope together. Let us wait faithfully with regard for our neighbors. Let us pass the flask around of oil, of course. And let us do so knowing that God will find us here, ready or not. Amen.
hasten as a bride to meet him. Eagerly and gladly greet him. There he stands already knocking. Quickly now your gate unlocking. Open wide the fast-closed portal, saying to the Lord immortal, come and leave your loved one never. Dwell within my heart forever. Now in faith I humbly ponder over this surpassing consolation, pledge and seal of my salvation. Jesus, source of lasting pleasure, truest friend and dearest treasure, peace be.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Longing for Christ's reign to come among us, we pray for the outpouring of God's power on the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, rouse us to deep praise as we gather for worship. Enliven our worship with sincere and heartfelt song. Continue to sustain the creative work of all church musicians and artists who lead us in praise and prayer. Hear us, God, your mercy
is great.
Holy Judge, let justice roll down like waters over this world and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Reign over the courtrooms of every land, in the hearts of those who guard the law and those who stand accused of crimes. Be present in our legal system, where we long for both justice and mercy to prevail. Hear us, O God, your mercy.
It's great.
Holy companion, console those who feel lonely or abandoned. Comfort those who have few friends, who live and eat alone, and who struggle with their identity and place in this world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy,
is great.
Holy protector, be with us as we observe Veterans Day. Guard the lives of active duty and retired military personnel. Comfort all who mourn those who have been injured in the line of duty. Heal their wounds, both physical and mental. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Holy and immortal one, we pray in thanksgiving for the lives of all who have died. Remind us of the frailty and shortness of our own lives and inspire us to use them for the building up of your kingdom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy
is great. Receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Until that day when you gather all creation around your throne where you will reign forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share signs of that peace among us.
Trim the burning, the time is gone.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet, nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
To you indeed be glory, Almighty God. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his friends for a meal that remembers and anticipates freedom. On that night, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. As we share this bread and cup, O God, and as we remember Christ's death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit into our dispersed midst, that we who share these gifts may be fed and forgiven and strengthened to serve you. Amen. As Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is the table of God. We invite all who are hungry for God's presence to receive this gift of mercy and forgiveness. Those of you who are with others in your home, please serve one another, saying, "The body of Christ given for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you." Those of you who are watching by yourselves, I invite you to wait until I say those words to you before you eat the bread and drink the wine. If you don't have bread or don't have wine or grape juice, Martin Luther reminds us that God is fully present in each element, that receiving only the bread or the wine is entire forgiveness. And further, those of you who might not receive communion for whatever reason, please recognize and understand that God's forgiveness and mercy and love are fully and completely provided to you in ways additional to Holy Communion. So the body of Christ given for you, on the blood of Christ shed for you. Body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks, Peter.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ. Given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that once again you have fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
May God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and lead you into the way of truth and life. Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor. Thanks be to God.